What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast and happy hump day. Almost did my Friday jingle.
Mixing up your exciting days.
I just got too excited about the humping, you know.
I know. I mean, I'm really excited that it's hump day. I have a tribute to Brigitte.
Oh my God, I didn't even notice you were wearing that.
On my sweater today. Unfortunately, my mic covers my left breast.
You want to switch seats for the show?
I think that we should, out of respect for Brew. No, the people get so...
I cannot function
people
on that side.
So twisted.
They're right. It's the most moronic thing. Like, I can't sit on that side.
Okay. Plus, I like my situation here. And I have my tings.
That's like, the side where I used to have my mole. So, like, I have a lot of trauma from it.
You have this. You have right side trauma.
I have mole trauma. I'm a mole woman. I hope everyone had a great day. You know what? I think we should start calling hump day bump day because you're bumping these days.
I am. That works.
Yeah. Happy bump day.
Happy bump day to me. Yeah. No, I got a big, big belly.
How's the belly feeling?
The belly's feeling good. You know, just moving and grooving.
Any complaints?
No. Oh, I mean back and feet.
Back and feet. But does Zach rub them?
He does.
And have you used the Home Medics foot massager?
Yes, I have. So... in the like when I wake up in the morning is when I feel my best for the day. I have the most energy.
You feel like P. Diddy? Literally thought that's what you're gonna say.
No. I like because I've just like been off my feet for 10 hours.
Right.
So I'm feeling rested, I'm feeling good. I have my coffee. And then just throughout the day, I deteriorate is what happens.
But how great is your life? Like, thank God that you work in the mornings.
Right. But by the end of the day, like, I can stand up. I can bend over, like, back breaking, foot breaking.
But you know what? It's actually making me, obviously, not to make everything about me. Actually, that's exactly what I'm doing. But, like, you know, I have a lot of anxiety about pregnancy. I just don't think I would handle it well. And knowing that our current lifestyle is literally structured for pregnancy, like, you're very blessed.
Yeah, and you would think that probably morning sickness would be like,
right,
you know, collide with morning show, but I found it to be fine.
Okay.
And I really did find that even when I was at my nauseous phase, it came in the afternoon for me. And a lot of people have said that too, like, it's really not the mornings.
Well, I've heard that, like, that's like a classic thing.
But
you know?
I do like wake up, step out into my living room and do a nice big gag every day. So like, it's
you guys,
I just like wait for it to waft over me and I'm like,
one of these days we have to catch it on a Patreon vlog. I have been in Jackie's presence for one of her gags. And when I think gag, I think like, bleh. Actually, if you have like a gag trigger, like, don't listen to this. Jackie's is like
fine.
A full-blown yelp. It's like, bleh. Like, it's alarming. Like, if you're not expecting it, it will scare you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it comes, like, sometimes I'll open the fridge, gag, but like, every day I go to make my coffee, give it a second,
gag.
Get the gag out, move on.
Oof.
Yeah. And then sometimes, like, that gag is a nefarious gag. It's a nefarious gag.
Right. No, I understand.
I gotta hit the toilet.
No, it's hard to know which is gonna be a nefarious gag and which is gonna be the benevolent gag.
Right. So, I mean, I haven't had a nefarious one in a while because now I'm like at the next stage of with like back and
how
feet.
How many months are you?
6 and change.
People keep asking me. I'm like, 11. I literally don't know.
11 months.
I don't know. I'm like, 2. I really don't know.
6 and change.
6 and change. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I had an eventful evening. First of all, I just have to say this is not an ad, even though they are a sponsor. I recently got fresh Boll & Branch sheets, and I put them on last Wednesday, and I have not slept like this, like, in a lifetime.
You actually called me to rave about them.
It's not even an ad, I swear.
Yeah, like, no, it's not, but it sounds like one.
I have just been sleeping, like, a dead woman. Like, you could not, you could set off a nuclear bomb and I would sleep through it. Like, it's just been amazing.
That's amazing.
I'm just sleeping so well, and that never happened. So I feel like I have to acknowledge the space that I'm in.
Yeah, I think it's also the daylight savings influence.
Totally.
Just a lot of factors. Plus, you know, we have a chill in the air. You're not as overheated 100%. In your sleep. And I just think it's a culmination of things that is leading to better sleep for all of us, including Boll & Branch sheets.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And I'm just very grateful to be, like, in this moment.
In this space, yeah.
But I also had an eventful evening, because you know I never leave my house, but I went to an event last night that was so premium, like, and so filled with stars, which never happens, because, you know, as major influences in this community, we get invited to so many events. Mm-hmm. And honestly, for the most part, like, I stopped going to events a few years ago, like, because they're all terrible. Like, yeah. They're just not fun, and they're, like, boring, and the food stinks. It's so awkward.
We talked about this on a Patreon episode. Our last episode that's a podcast, we talk about the awkwardness of being an influencer and attending these events. And
yeah.
I was literally peeing with laughter.
It was so funny, and it's so true. And so I haven't been to one in forever just because, like, I don't have the stomach for it. Joke about my stomach. But I went to one last night that was so premium, first of all. Like, every influencer in town was in there, and I finally got to meet Sophia Lacourt, who is an up-and-coming star, who's so gorgeous in real life, and was such a lovely person. Like, I just couldn't believe I was talking to someone that was so beautiful and so nice.
No, she's everything of the sort, and I'm so glad that you got to meet her. I'm obsessed with her.
When we spotted each other from across the room, it was like seeing, like, someone I've known for 15 years. We were, like, screaming.
That's so sweet.
And obviously, my boyfriend Tyler C was there, which was just really good. It was kind of awkward because Ben was my plus one, so it was, like, kind of uncomfortable to be,
and
like,
they, like, have their own thing going on too.
Obsessed.
And then when you add Theo to the mix, it's like this orgy.
So I did want to, like, let everyone know that Tyler did ask about Theo. He did ask about the podcast. He misses the toasters.
He asked about Theo because
He was telling me, I guess wherever he goes, whether toasters are always like, we loved you on the toast, which is so nice because it makes us look, like, so legit to Tyler.
No, when that happens to celebrities, never forget Yosemite.
Was it Yosemite or Yellow?
It's Yosemite because I remember I said Yosemite and everyone dragged me
through. Okay, yeah, that sounds right.
Dragged me through the national park.
No, there are toasters in high places.
Yosemite is seared into my brain.
For those who don't know, Yosemite's a national park where Luke Combs had a day off on his tour and wanted to go in, and the security guard would not let him in. They were closed. His tour bus was too big. It was, like, a whole thing. They're like, he's like, I'm Luke Combs. And they were like, we don't care. And this, like, national park ranger came on the...
Ranger girly
came on... I think her name was Laura. She came on the bus to explain, like, why, you know, the bus was too big and it was the hours weren't right. And she was a toaster, and she was like, wait, Nico, I saw you on the toast, like, on CMAs. And she was like, yeah. He's like, oh, you guys can come right in. So that's what I'm saying. Toasters in high places. Also, you may not know this because the event was for Amazon last night. Did you know, like, 90% of the people who work for Amazon are toasters?
No.
I met so many amazing toasters. Colleen, Reese, Sam. Like, I met all these toasters who were just, like, making Amazon happen. That's why it's a $1 trillion company. And that's what people don't talk about.
Wow. What side of Amazon are they on?
All aspects. So they're the PR company, the event company that put on the Amazon event, Autumn Communications, riddled with toasters. Then the actual Amazon fashion, Amazon school, like, every single sector is infested with toasters. And that's why you see this unparalleled historic growth from Amazon.
Wow, there's an infestation.
Infestation.
You absolutely love to see it.
So that's why it's such a good time. I was just, like, around like-minded individuals and celebrities. Kathy Hilton and Kyle Richards were, like, they were hosting the event. Did see Kyle. Her nose looked amazing. And I was like, your nose looks amazing. She was like, I'm so glad I broke it. And it was just, like, kind of a fabulous holiday party. And it reinvigorated my love for what I do, you know?
Wow, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, no, and, like, I, like, hate going to things. And it was in Brooklyn, you know, like, I had to get up and go.
Yeah.
But Amazon is classy. Like, they send a car. Like, they are just elegant.
I'm so glad you had such a great evening.
I really did. And then I got home at, like, 10:30 and passed out in my amazing bed. Like, it was kind of like a perfect night.
Wow, that's really nice for you. Thanks. I actually had a great night, too.
And everyone was asking about you. Everyone. Really? Sophia Lacourt, especially. She was like...
Tyler C.
No.
That's okay. He hasn't... It's been a while.
Have you... He replaced you, so have you ever met him?
Yes, because he came on the show as a guest once.
Oh, right.
Like, we went to his apartment for that party.
Yeah.
Like,
we're old friends.
I was there.
Yeah, no, I just forgot because my most, like, obvious memory with Tyler is him sitting right there making love to my son.
Understood. Did he say anything about the marathon?
Yes. Oh, my God. So he was there with his home friend, Chad, who was such a nice guy, and he was, like, so cute. And I was like... I was actually, like, thinking, like, maybe him and Sophia Lacourt, like, because Sophia Lacourt was hanging with me.
What about Sophia Lacourt and Tyler C?
Oh, yeah, that too. But, like, Taylor was busy, so, like, we were all talking to Chad.
Okay.
And so, but they both ran the marathon together, and I was like, did you guys cry? And they were like, no. I'm like, why?
What's the point?
Literally. And I said, do you guys have to, like, pee or anything? That was my question. And they were like, you actually, they have, like, bathroom stations, like, porta-potties along the way, but they didn't pee because they tried not to, like, drink a lot of water and stuff.
I wonder what the porta-potties, like, what level of
I can't even imagine.
What level? Is it, like, you know, Coachella VIP?
No, I think it's, like, porta-potty. Porta-John, you know?
Got it.
But then this guy, Chad, told me the craziest thing that I haven't been able to stop thinking about. I'm like, well, what are your ailments? Like, are your legs hurting? Like, how are you here right now? And he was, like, showing me this picture, and he was like, honestly, like, my body's fine. And he shows me this picture where his tank top is, like, red, but it's, like, a white tank top. And I'm like, what is that? He's like, my nipples were bleeding. Because, like, you're chafing running up against your shirt.
Yeah.
And that was just, like, an unforeseen damage that he had had. And he said, like, literally they're scabbing. Oh my I don't God. Know if I should be, like, blowing up his spot right now, like, using his name. But he was such a nice guy. And no. He was just, like, sharing. He's like, and then Tyler, he said, flicked his nipple. And he's never been in so much pain in his life.
Oh, my God. He needs, like, a sports bra.
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens to the women or no. We're protected.
We're protected. But I think, like, chafing between the legs, like, no matter how great shape you're in, like, you're running, passing your thighs back so many times. Like, you're going to chafe.
Even the most in-shape person
is also shaped. Underarms.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why people wear, like, biker shorts, Under Armour, like, undergarments. You have to, like, really prepare. And so if it was their first marathon, they didn't know.
Wow. Ow.
Yeah, no, I know. Every time I think about it, like, I have to, like, grasp my, like, it really pains me. It's like one of those eek moments.
Marathon fun fact.
Yeah, no, I was learning a lot.
Interesting.
And Tyler said he was, like, making amazing time until, like, the 21st mile, and he was like, I was dead. Like, my hamstring was broken. Like, and he said he, like, trained, but, you know, he's like, he's living in shape. Life. Like, yeah. Yeah. So he made it till the 21st mile until he was, like, a dead man.
Wow.
But his time was, like, 4 hours and 20 minutes. Or maybe 5 hours and 20 minutes. Pretty good.
Really good.
Really good. Pretty good. Like,
pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, as I say from my couch.
Yeah.
So it was just an interesting evening full of interesting people.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Thank you.
So I guess we can get right into everything. I know you didn't watch Vanderpump Rules, but...
Listen, what is one thing we've learned about me? Like, I never back down from a challenge. I watched it this morning.
Okay, but you told me last night, you were like, I'm not going to watch,
yeah.
So you don't need to watch.
But then you said, I am going to watch.
Right. Oh, so then you were watching.
If you had confirmed with me last night that we would be off the hook, I would have, you know...
I had the bandwidth.
So did I this morning.
Okay, cool. So we'll recap that, even though it was a big waste...
Steamy pile of shit.
Dump, waste of time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm still reading Good Morning Monster. It is so good.
Oh yeah,
it's so good. I'm on story person number three, and like each person comes from more interesting mm-hmm. set of circumstances than the last. It's wild. I'm learning so much about human behavior,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really enjoying. Maybe that's it'll good. Like influence. And actually, it actually already is influencing like how I think about things because everybody is just like a culmination. Of all the different things in their life. And like, so someone might have like weird, quirky things about them. And it's not just like them being quirky. A weirdo. It's like maybe when they were 5 years old, like they didn't have the opportunity to make that sort of.
Is that what you're thinking like about Tom Sandoval?
Oh, no. I wasn't thinking about him in particular. But it does.
Because he is like quirky.
And no, it does make me think twice about like making fun. Even like a friend for yeah. their something that you never know. You just never know.
That's so true.
So I'm like. Like Dana for her rehearsal dinner, like I'm roasting her and I'm like,
Jackie, you your just speech never is know. So good. Like I am so devastado. I'm not going to be there because it's going to kill. Like,
okay.
It sounds like it was written by like literally like Jeff Ross, like Roastmaster. Like it's so good.
Really?
And you're also just like very well spoken and articulate and like you use big words. It's just, it's really good. Like honestly, if Dana will let you, like you should record it for the Patreon.
Okay. I think she would be she would totally love it. Fine with that. And also, you guys don't know this about me, but like I hate public speaking, like especially when it's like a room full of people that I know. You know, like when we have done
that's worse.
When we've done like live shows and stuff, I'm able to like just be with you.
Yeah.
But when I have to like put my own words and feelings pen to paper.
Oh yeah, that's tough.
Share them. Like it gives me so much anxiety.
No, but also the aspect of it being people you know, like I would literally rather perform in front of 10,000 strangers than 20 of my closest friends and family. Like it's fucking painfully awkward. Yeah,
and speaking about like your innermost feelings.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's been a nice journey. And actually I'm liking this nonfiction turn that I've taken because I was just getting into a weird place with reading where I just like had nowhere to turn.
Real.
real.
Nonfiction.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Cool, cool.
So, without further ado.
Yeah, there was something on my mind, but it slipped. It'll come back.
I'm sure it will.
It always does.
It is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Do you hear that?
Mm.
Yeah, oh, that is, I was right. I did hear something. It is Bruce, you guys, the unofficial board. Let me start that over. Today's episode is brought to you by Bruce, the official toothbrush of the morning. Oh my God, I almost said breath. The morning toast, because I was thinking like brush. Sorry. Okay, if you're looking for an electric toothbrush, stop looking. We have the best and most affordable one because electric toothbrushes are fabulous, but a lot of them, most of them, can cost over $200, which honestly is just asinine and stupid. So Bruce is here to give you the best looking, the best working, and the best priced electric toothbrush on the market. It comes with 6 unique modes so you can customize the entire brushing experience. The battery life lasts 4 weeks. It comes with a magnetic charging stand, a compact travel case, which is so fabulous, both of these items. And because the battery life lasts 4 weeks, you literally don't have to bring the charger with you if you're going on like a vacation for a week or 2 weeks. They also offer a subscription program, so you never forget to change your brush head again. Bruce will ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head. Their electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design. It comes in trend-driven seasonal colors, and it looks great on your bathroom counter. Get $15 off your Bruce toothbrush kit and the refill plan when you use promo code TOAST at bruce.com/toast. That's $15 off using promo code TOAST at bruush.com/toast.
Wonderful. Get your Bruce Tadouche. First story, People's 2021 Sexiest Man Alive is here, and it is Paul Rudd.
Cute.
Paul Rudd is having a hard time accepting his new title of People's Sexiest Man Alive. The actor has heard it all, kind, self-deprecating, affable, hardworking, all labels he's embraced to some degree. But sexy? That's a little outside his wheelhouse. He said, I do have an awareness enough to know that when people hear that I'd be picked for this, they would say, what? He says to People magazine. This is not false humility. There are so many people that should get this before me. Okay, Paul Rudd, let's discuss. Because there is a community of people.
Obsessed would take a bullet.
Would take a bullet. Whose life has been made by this distinction.
Yeah.
Who feel seen, who feel heard. And I just want to address you quickly. I'm happy for you.
Me too. Know that I am.
Know that I am.
Even if I don't understand. No, here's the thing. When I saw this, my reaction was literally cute. Like,
yeah.
Paul Rudd is 100% very handsome. He gets better with age. Would I say he's the sexiest man alive? No. Would I say he's the cutest man alive? Yeah, like, he's super cute. He doesn't give off that, like, raw sex appeal, but I feel like this is a really good, safe choice. Like, I'm not mad about it.
Like, it's not offensive. I feel like nobody has beef with Paul Rudd.
Nobody.
Even if you're not on Stannis Baratheon warship, like, you are just like, oh, he's a cute guy. Like, I love Clueless. Like, he's always in some good shit. And he seems like an all-around stand-up guy. Like, let's value that as sexy. Cool.
I completely agree because really, and I feel like I was just saying this to someone, like, sexiness and just, like, good looks, really, not to be, like, so, you know, like Mother Teresa, have so...
It's confusing. Your guys are so similar.
So similar. But, like, at the end of the day, once you know someone, it has, like, nothing to do with how they look. Like,
1,000...
The way you talk, your confidence, your personality, your ambiance, like, that really can make someone like Pete Davidson, who I think looks-wise, it's like a 5 out of 10. Everything else... 10 out of 10. Like, it's not about your looks anymore.
No, it's so true. Like, you're, especially for me, like, the first time I meet you, I guess I'm registering your looks. But after that, like, the way that I see you is based on who you are. And I feel like a really good example of that is The Bachelor. Because, like, 25, all those guys are drop-dead handsome, mm-hmm. technically, classically, whatever. But then, like, we spend 2 minutes hearing from them, and it's like, get this man out of my face.
100%.
You know, and it's like, you, like...
But it also can be the opposite. Like, you could be so handsome and, like, literally what comes out of your mouth is, like, dull, boring, stupid. Bye. Like,
yeah.
It can make you uglier, too.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's why we should all be working on our personalities.
Or it just, like, nullifies your handsomeness. And it's like, I can't be bothered. But then you could have someone who's, you know, no one's really, like, that ugly.
No, thing is, we're literally being, like, what's not Mother Teresa? Like, the nursery rhyme, Mother Goose?
I don't think.
I keep saying Mother Teresa, but that's not it.
No, what are you trying to say?
I was, like, going to say something, like, cliche and, like, nursery rhymey. So, like, what is that? It's not Mother Teresa. It's that's like a
she's like
religious
a saint.
Figure. Yeah,
no. Because she's a saint, so she is just it works.
No, but it's I'm applicable. Thinking of another mother. Someone's gonna know what I'm talking about, like in nursery rhymes and shit.
Mother Goose is from nursery rhymes.
Yeah, but I don't think it's Mother Goose.
Okay.
Okay. Whatever.
We're being like very after school special, but
yeah. But you know what? That's like what you learn when you're a kid and you roll your eyes at it. But like as an adult, it's so true. Like you just spend your life with someone. Okay, you're like conventionally hot, but you're like boring and mean and stupid. Like who cares?
You're the ugliest person
on
I know.
The inside.
And
yeah.
I do feel like not everyone has reached this like level of enlightenment, mm-hmm. and like those are the people who just like make terrible choices and partners.
100%.
But it's just a level of, I guess it's like a maturity thing. But I don't know. It's just you spend a lot of time with this person. Like, right. Do you want to enjoy yourself?
Now the thing with Paul Rudd is like, I don't know if I've ever told this story, but like I have like a Paul Rudd anecdote. Do you know what I'm about to say?
No, this might be, is this a fresh Claudia story?
I don't think so. I remember saying it before, but okay. What was the place called where we used to do gymnastics growing up as kids?
Gymnastics.
It had like a name, like not gymnastics, but like five star gymnastics. Remember? Okay. So we had just seen the movie Clueless. We were like obsessed. And I forget how old I was, but we were in our gymnastics class. And the guy who like ran my like group looked so much, I didn't know it was Paul Rudd. I'm like, you look like Josh from Clueless. Like that's all what I thought. And the guy, I know I sound crazy. Like I know I sound crazy. I thought it so hard. And like one day I said it to him, I'm like, you look so much like the guy from Clueless, Josh. And he gave me like this like smirk. And he was I was on to him. And then, like, he stopped working at the gymnastics place, like, obviously because he became famous. And I'm telling you, Paul Rudd taught me gymnastics. Like, I know it sounds moronic, but if I ever meet Paul Rudd, I have to ask him if he ever taught gymnastics in Long Island. Like, it is something that has, like, eaten me alive and, like, kept me up at night. I know I sound crazy. Like, I know Paul Rudd taught me gymnastics.
You've definitely never told that story.
I know it.
Have you committed?
I'm telling you, if anyone knows Paul Rudd, like, please, this has been something that is plaguing me my entire life, like, because I know that this happened, you know? But I also have, like, a lot of childhood trauma, so, like, maybe I did make it up, but I'm telling you, like, it totally happened. I know it.
Okay, you know what? This is your Stanley Tucci on a plane moment. I'm gonna let
you have
it.
No, don't gaslight me like that, because we were all there, we were all adults, we saw that it wasn't Stanley Tucci, and, like, you're just being funny by joking that it was Stanley Tucci. Like,
it was Stanley Tucci, and on the off chance that it wasn't, it was the guy from Kingsman.
Very possible, but it was not Stanley Tucci. We were all there. You guys like don't know what I'm talking about, so it makes it seem like this is an even more far off idea. I'm telling you, Paul Rudd taught me gymnastics. I know it. Okay. So if anyone is even remotely close to Paul Rudd, like related to him, like works for like something, please just like ask him if he ever taught gymnastics in Long Island. Like it will save me like so much therapy. Like please.
Okay, and that's your truth.
Oh, fuck off. Nope. It's the truth.
No. It's not even close to the truth, but it could be your truth.
Unless this guy who was teaching me gymnastics, I should call the gymnastics place. Take a look at their records. If they're still open.
You guys, we've lost her.
I feel like now that I've kind of like said my truth, people will start coming out of the woodwork like, oh my God, Paul Rudd taught me also.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Anyone know what I'm talking about? Like, I do feel crazy.
I'm just gonna give you the space to explore this.
Yeah, please. And then, like, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
When you're wrong, you'll be wrong.
But I just, like, needed to get that off my chest. It's been, like, plaguing me for the longest time.
Okay. And now he's the sexiest man alive.
Yeah, and I did that. It was me at gymnastics who gave him the confidence.
Definitely. He does look really good on the cover.
Yes, he looks hot.
So I think this is great. I've actually been like, ever since we did that quiz, I was like, when are they going to give us the SMA?
Oh, yeah.
And
I forgot that we did that like poll.
Yeah. And I'm glad that now we know.
You know,
because how would we go on if we didn't know who the sexiest man alive was?
You know what's so funny about the sexiest man alive thing? It's like they always nominate or give it to an A-lister. Who would literally never be associated with People Magazine ever. Like, you think Paul Rudd would ever sit down for an interview with People Magazine? Like, well, George Clooney?
Sort of. Because when you think of actually, like, sexiest man alive, like, Harry Styles, you know?
Right. It's always an older man.
It's always someone who's, like, you know, has a new show coming out, could use a little press.
Does he have a new something coming out?
Yes, The Shrink Next Door on Apple Plus.
Got it.
With Will Ferrell.
Yeah, it is weird that they always do, like, a much older. It's always, like, Blake Shelton, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, like, older men, when like actually you're right, like the hottest man alive right now by like society's terms is Harry Styles.
Pete Davidson,
Right.
But there, he's not joining People Magazine.
No.
To talk about his sexiness.
That's true.
You know, so it's like sexiest man alive that we have access to.
Did they release the other, like, sexiest hair alive?
No, I wasn't seeing sexiest hair. But okay. Some stuff had been, like, trickling in recently, but I'm sure hopefully tomorrow we'll have the full list and we can see if this hair really is sexy.
Yeah, we'll be the judge of that.
Whenever we say sexy so many times, I feel like Anna Faris in House Bunny. So sexy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, whenever you know when you say a word a lot of times, it starts to sound weird?
Yes, no, that's not what I meant.
I cannot say the word garage more than like 3 times without having to go to the hospital.
Okay. Well, you have 2 more. So garage. Don't do it.
Garage.
You guys, she's done. Someone get Paul Rudd to resuscitate her. Make her do a cartwheel.
Paul? Is that you? Okay, I'm better. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, are you ready for our next story?
Sure.
Switching gears a bit, new information has come out that Travis Scott attended a Dave & Buster's party after Astroworld. Travis Scott attended an after party at Dave & Buster's following the Astroworld Festival tragedy, but he was unaware at the time that several concertgoers had been trampled to death, a report said. The rapper, quote, didn't know the severity of the situation when he arrived to the party, a source told TMZ, but once he was informed, he immediately left. The after party was thrown by Drake, who made a surprise appearance at Friday's opening day of the festival in Houston. Drake also did not initially know the extent of the tragedy when he went to the arcade for the party, according to TMZ.
I mean, this is just no bueno. Like, everything that has come out, like, since is just so bad for Travis. Like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Like, we knew.
Yeah, it was, like, trending on Twitter.
Like, already. How did we know and you didn't?
I don't know, but I think this... I really don't think that he knew. I don't think he went to Dave & Buster's, like, knowing that his concert was a mass casualty event. But it's like...
How
do you not know?
How?
Where are your people?
Right, like, I fucking knew.
Right,
I
could have told you. I could imagine maybe his phone is... He's not on
For
his
sure,
phone,
no, I'm whatever. Not thinking he's trolling Twitter. Like, what are people saying about my concert?
But
he has a million people around him.
People, handlers, managers who are, like, constantly taking the temperature.
Right.
Of what they just put on, like, this huge festival.
Right. No, I have a hard time believing this. And this is just, like, such a bad look for Travis.
It's such a bad look. But, I mean, it's so bad that I believe that he did not know.
I just think, like, honestly, I don't know how Travis Scott.
But then also, like you said, he cut the show. It was supposed to be 175 minutes. He made it shorter. So, like what was his
right?
What was his reasoning for making it shorter?
Now it's a flaw in his story because he said on his Instagram, like, we cut the show short, even though people were like, you should have cut it way shorter. Right. He did, like, 20 minutes less. So if you did cut it short, you knew something was wrong, but you still went to an after party.
But to what extent did he know that something was wrong? Maybe he thought that just the crowd was getting out of control.
Like, maybe, but it just, this is so bad. Like, I've been thinking about it a lot. Like, I don't know how career-wise Travis Scott bounces back from this. Yeah. This is like a career-ending moment.
You think so?
I mean, I don't know how he's being dropped from festivals left, right, and center. I saw he was replaced by
Post Malone.
Thank you. No one wants to be associated with that right now. And of course, like, that always dies down. The news cycle picks up something else. But I just think people are so disturbed by this story, like, on an emotional... I don't know how you can see the picture of the 10-year-old boy in a coma, the 14-year-old boy who died, and the unidentifiable man who they had to release a picture of him from the morgue. Like, I don't know...
They did identify him, by the way.
Good.
Yeah. But what's crazy, he traveled from Washington for the... for the concert, and his family, like, didn't hear from him that night, so they thought something was wrong, and they called the Houston PD, like, is there anyone who's not identified who has passed away? And they said no, so they assumed he was okay.
Oh.
And then they had to find out on social media.
Oh my God. See, like, that's the thing. This is such, like, we're all human. Like, to hear all of this, it's so horrible, and it's, like, so, it's, like, impacting everyone. I can't stop thinking about it, and it's all over our news feeds. Like, I really don't know how we move on from this. Like, it's so devastating, and the more we learn and the more videos we see, like, we see a lot of the responsibility is on Travis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how he has a career after this, like, for real.
And also, people are now surfacing, like, old posts of his where there are photos of people who got, like, injured at his concerts. And it was before, you know, this Astroworld, it was sort of like a badge of honor to
come out with a bruise or a broken leg or in a wheelchair.
Right. And so it
It all
encourages this behavior,
you know? Right. And now knowing what we know, seeing it all, it looks terrible. Because right. it's been going on since 2015.
Also, some internal documents came out about yes. their, like, safety protocols where they said that they, if, you know, like, what to do in an emergency at this festival. And they had plans to refer to possible dead fans as Smurfs.
Yeah.
Which is so disturbing.
So disturbing. It reminds me of Succession. No real person involved.
Yeah.
Like a terrible way of describing. It's, that's the thing. It's like all these things that keep coming out are just getting worse and worse. And when you look at it, like you take a step back, you realize like this was completely unavoidable based on how they put this thing together. Like it was always like it had to, like there was no way. There wasn't one thing someone could have done. Like this was just a really poorly constructed festival with a performer who encourages this type of like violent behavior.
Yeah.
So it's just so terrible. It's like the worst thing. I can't get over it. Like it's yeah. so sad.
It's so sad. And even more details, like some of the injured victims are either brain dead.
Yeah, I saw that. Completely brain dead.
Or like in a, like fighting for their lives. So it's not just injured. Like
it's a broken leg.
People are like
fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
It's horrible. So people are really angry, and I do feel like they're completely justified in directing that anger towards Travis. But also, Live Nation is immensely responsible because, mm-hmm. like, so when you're a performer, like, you put on an event, obviously, you don't have the capability of what a Live Nation does, so you partner with a Live Nation, and you think that a lot of these things, like security, like, you know, just regular, like, boring administrative stuff, should be taken care of by Live Nation, and they are extremely responsible for that.
Yeah. Well, the lawsuits, there was a $26 million insurance policy. The lawsuits that are coming in, people are saying, like, could go up into the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right. So for Travis.
And then going forward, it's like, what venue would have Travis perform?
Right. And also, so when you're a performer, you have all different types of insurance. Like, I have insurance. Like, if somebody trips and falls in a venue, I don't want to be liable for their, you know, broken tooth or something. Mm-hmm. So every performer has insurance. I'm sure Travis does, too. So it's possible that his insurance will cover all of these lawsuits, but also he will never be able to be insured again. So I don't know how you can't perform without insurance. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I can't imagine there's ever a insurance company who wants to insure him because it's such a liability. So again, I don't know how he performs ever again live.
Yeah. Wow.
And Live Nation is also royally fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy. Are you ready for our next story? Switch things up a little bit.
Please.
Prince George ate a live ant like a hero, reveals adventurer Bear Grylls.
What?
Prince George was hanging out with Bear Grylls because he's
Bear Grylls is like a Crocodile Dundee
he's
person?
He's Man vs. Wild.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And he's like the guy in the wilderness.
In the UK, especially.
And Prince George is a big fan. And
that is so cute.
Bear Grylls appeared on Good Morning Britain on Tuesday, and he looked back at his August 29 encounter with the little prince, who the British adventurer says was a little hero for eating a live ant. The moment happened at the King's Cup Regatta on the Isle of Wight when George's grandmother, Carol Middleton, invited Grylls over to meet the prince, a huge fan. Grylls explained that he didn't really mean to encourage George to eat an ant that day, but the moment presented itself and he couldn't resist. He said, and so we were chatting and he was down here, and just as we were chatting, a stream of ants went across his feet, and him and me looked at them. He looked at me with those amazed wide eyes, and I said, come on, we've got to eat one.
What? Oh, I didn't encourage the prince to eat an ant. Come on, let's eat them.
And he said, oh, really? And we ate. He said it was a privilege to give the future king his first ant, and his eyes lit up as they do with anyone when they're out in the wild, and they face a few fears and they overcome them. So
kids
good
are
for
so
him.
Cute.
What a little hero.
Kids are so stinking cute.
So stinking cute.
What does Bear Grylls look like?
Grylls, Grylls on the right. And that's watch what happens live, I guess.
That is so cute. Imagine just like being the prince and like you're just everywhere you go, you get to meet your heroes. Like,
I know,
you know, kids are so obsessed with like Disney prince, like all these people that they see in television and movies, and just to be the prince and like, oh, daddy, I'd like to see Bear Grylls. Like, you just get to see anyone you want. Like, that's such a life. You also like become a monster, but it's so sweet.
And you become so, you know, nothing amazes you. You no, and nothing can like stun you, impress. And he's so little, but like, I mean, I'm glad that he had his auntie experience. He's an antiphile.
No, and you know what? It really makes me think of The Prince on HBO Max. Like, that is literally what he's going to turn into when you've literally just been given everything in your whole life.
Yeah, but this story, you know, we don't get to know much about Prince George's personality. But this story, like, just gives me
A little insight into the little man.
And I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, he's going to make a great king. It's a very brave thing to do.
It is.
I just can't believe, like, currently right now, there's, like, so many kings alive. Like, future kings, right? Mm-hmm. Charles, hopefully not, but yeah, Charles, William, George. Like, there's three future kings alive right now. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
The Britons, I mean, not the Britons, the British just, like, live forever.
Well, you know, medicine is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Is she the oldest living monarch? Like, in, she has to be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And she's the longest reigning.
Queen. Literally.
Literal queen. Our next story is also about the literal queen. You're going to die at
and
this
it's
story.
Brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Did you know that there are over 10 million job openings, but only 7.6 million unemployed job seekers? And this issue is being worsened due to mismatch of employers and qualified candidates. So employers are having to go above and beyond to entice people to want to work for them. Enter ZipRecruiter, a powerful technology to find and match the right candidates up with your job. Then it proactively presents these candidates to you. You can easily review these recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site in the U.S. based on G2 ratings, and it's no wonder their technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at the exclusive address ZipRecruiter.com/toast. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TOAST to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Okay, next story. The Queen will weigh Kate Middleton and Prince William after Christmas lunch as part of a bizarre tradition.
Oh, I can never be royal.
In our family, we all like to boast about how much food we can tuck away on Christmas Day, but when you're a royal, it turns out you have to put your money where your mouth is. Yes, as if Christmas at the Queen's Norfolk estate, Sandringham, didn't sound daunting enough. There's also a very odd tradition that every member of the royal family has to follow. In 2018, royal experts said that the Queen asks each of her guests, including Kate and Prince William, to weigh themselves when they arrive using a set of antique scales. But this is all to make sure guests are having a great time and they're being weighed to make sure they're being well fed. The tradition dates back to King Edward VII's reign in the early 1900s and applies to all members of the royal family.
That's atrocious. Like, literally fucking atrocious. Never invite me to Sandringham. Before this episode, if you would have told me, like, where's your dream to spend Christmas? I'm like, with the royals in Sandringham. Now,
no, you have to get weighed.
Never.
You have to get weighed.
And do they do it in front of the group? Like,
I don't know. Like, I can't imagine, you know, if they're weighing you out in the public, like, I can't imagine that they're then sensitive about the numbers.
Right. No, like, they're doing it all in front of everyone. But, you know, they're all just, like, so tiny. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. But
oh, my God. I can't. The trauma. Poor Kate.
That's just a lot.
You know, she's already, like, and, like, you know, when you're a young woman in those types of scenarios, like, you're being picked apart in the media constantly. Like, I'm sure you have such a negative body image. Oh, great. Finally get to spend Christmas with my family. And what do? They weigh me.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Isn't that wild?
That's so bizarre. I'm telling you, British people have, like, weird shit, you know?
Yeah.
This is such a British thing.
I mean, and then they weigh you, like, I guess at the end of the meal to see how much, like, food right. you ate and that you are well fed.
Like, who literally ate the most?
It's just embarrassing.
It's atrocious. Even though this is the stupidest thing I'm ever going to say. But when you get weighed in London, like, UK, you don't get weighed in pounds, right?
No.
Stones?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, I probably weigh, like, what, like, 11 stones? Like, that's so little, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, like, less them, embarrassing when the number isn't that high.
No, to them, though, like, stones are pounds. So, like, they're, it's just relative.
No, I know, but, like, there's just something about saying, like, 150 or 11. I don't know what the right conversion is, but, like, there's something more acceptable, like, to me about that, you know?
Okay.
So maybe I should move to London. I think I'd be skinnier.
You'll weigh less.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, ready for our fifth and final story?
Not yet. Hold on.
Places, people.
It's the final story. It's the final story. Please never weigh me in public. like a nice, light final story. You know, not everyone has to be 100%.
I like when we switch it up. We give it different energy on different days, you know? Our fifth and final story is a really sweet story. So I don't know if you've seen the trailer for the new movie coming out called King Richard with Will Smith.
Serena and Venus's, yes.
Yes, Serena and Venus's. It's the story of them and their dad, who's their coach, and like their childhood and tennis and everything. Will Smith says Venus and Serena Williams cried all the way through King Richard. They loved it.
That's really sweet. And they were involved. I was watching the Today Show and they said, like, this is Venus and Serena approved.
Okay, that's great.
Which is so important to know.
When I first saw the trailer the first time, I didn't know this movie was coming out. I didn't know what it was about. I just saw, like, the girls playing tennis and this and that. And then once he was like, and what are your girls' names? And he was like, Serena and Venus. I was like, I literally had chills.
Me too. I was like, King Richard, is this like a historical?
Yeah. No, it looks amazing. Yeah. And I guess the Williams sisters think so too. Will Smith waited on pins and needles to hear Venus and Serena Williams' reaction to his on-screen performance as their father. In King Richard, out November 19th, the Oscar nominee plays Richard Williams, the dad and childhood tennis coach of the famous athlete sisters. While appearing on The Tonight Show on Tuesday, he recalled being nervous to find out what Venus and Serena thought of the final movie. He said Venus and Serena were really excited about the possibility, and they said that they would potentially be executive producers, and they would walk us through the whole process, but they were going to withhold whether or not they put their names on the film until they saw it.
Oh.
Smart. So then I get the call that Venus and Serena are walking into the theater to see the film.
Really smart.
Yeah, it's the worst 2 hours ever. The worst 2 hours because you spend so much time creating these things and there is literally only one audience when you do it. You hope that they like it. Fortunately, the stars enjoyed the movie. He said they cried all the way through and that they loved it.
That's so cute. People are saying like this is going to be Will Smith's like Oscar moment.
Yeah, no, it looks incredible. I'm glad to hear it has a stamp of approval.
Oh my God, you know, we should keep that.
Yeah, and that's what I was just thinking.
We're all obviously spending the holidays together, and every fucking holidays, we literally spend every night fighting over what to watch. We've decided to preemptively start a list of approved films.
Yeah, like start a Google Doc of things that like we all really want to see.
So, and then we're not going to see it until then.
None of us will watch it until then.
What was the one we already had on it?
Cruella.
Oh, yeah. But that one was just like so good, I need to see it again.
Yeah, so add it to the list.
Add it to the list. I will physically start a list because I know nobody else did.
Anybody has suggestions?
Yeah, for like family friendly, like boys, girls, young, old, like we just need things we can all agree on.
Yes, that are good. We love a musical too, even though we've really seen them all.
We
spend so much time fighting over what to watch.
No, and so like if we can just preemptively make our holiday even better, why wouldn't we?
Put in the work now.
Put in the work, put in the hours. We take what's ours.
Yeah.
What's a viral TikTok song?
I've heard it, and it sounds like a song from Descendants.
It's sung by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and people are literally demanding he's continue his rap career because that song went so viral.
When did he sing it?
I don't know what it's from, what it is, but it's recently made a resurgence and people now are demanding he rejoin the music industry because he is the music industry. Speaking of the music industry, it is such a big week for music. Like,
I know. And Jessica Simpson just
11/11 tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I don't know, maybe a single, maybe an album, maybe a Christmas song. Like, I don't know, but she just
single threw her, would be good.
Like, she just threw her hat in the 11/11 ring.
And you know what? I love that she's like, she's so like confident in her, like she doesn't care. Like, cause I feel like back in the day she was constantly being compared to like Christina and Britney and they had to like spread out. This is like the busiest time of year for music right now. And she's just, bye.
Yeah. No, I'm so excited. Obviously Red, Taylor's version comes out tomorrow.
But tomorrow she's on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. She's SNL, Late Night with Seth Meyers, Jimmy Fallon. I think maybe she's on one more show. She's just like giving us the most, and the All Too Well short film, which is so crazy.
She's just a musical guest on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I think.
Who's the host?
Someone I'd never heard of.
Okay. And I wonder what she's going to sing.
Yeah, so I saw a theory on TikTok because, you know, you get two songs.
Yeah.
And someone, just because of the timing, like, someone was like, she could use both of her, like, song slots to sing the 10-minute All Too Well version, even though I don't think that's what she's going to do, because we're getting the All Too Well thing. I think one of them will probably be, like, the most popular single from the song. So, like, I Knew You Were Trouble, We Are Never Getting Back Together. I know, those are, like, my least favorite ones.
Please, no.
Or Red, or State of Grace. State of Grace was a single. If she could do State of Grace, I mean, I would literally die. And then the second performance is probably one of the new ones.
Okay.
Or, oh my God, like, if she sang Better, like, we've never gotten Better Man Live. Like, we are so desperate, for like.
Let's make our guesses. Let's put them in.
Okay, let me think.
I think she's going to sing Red.
Let me look at the album, like get all the songs in my head.
I think she's going to sing Red and a new one. And a new one or Better Man.
Okay, I do think she also is going to sing Red, not to copy off of you, but it's the name of the album. It was a single, and it's the best fucking song.
Yeah, but will she do it the same way as...
Yes.
Okay.
What I've learned from the Fearless re-recording is that nothing will change. And that's because these songs, at least for me, and I think for a lot of Swifties, are like literally like benchmarks in our life. Like,
or so, everything will change.
That's the worst song. That like when we want to go back and reference like moments in our life and we want to use the Taylor's version, like she's given us a carbon copy.
I understand. I know. But it's like, okay, you're going to go on SNL and perform just the same song that you would have done in 2013.
Even though like for a lot of the songs, especially the ones from 1989, she did unbelievable remixes of her own songs on tour that I thought were better than the original.
Right. We've had this conversation so many times, but we need to learn. We need to get it through our heads. Like,
no, I think she might do it for 1989 because I don't think there's any songs that I would have wanted her to change on Red.
Okay. I just feel like there could always be a harmony. Just but like one.
No, actually, on 1989, she did the most unbelievable cover of a song from Red. And the saddest fear comes creeping in that you never loved me or her. Wait, I know your trouble. Yeah, that's Red, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so I guess she's not doing it. That remix is so good.
I will not, I don't want to hear I Knew You Were Trouble, We're Never Getting Back Together, or 22.
Me too.
Those,
they're just so overplayed.
China.
I agree, actually, 100%.
Okay, what were we saying? Big musical weekend.
Yeah, and then next week is Adele.
Yeah.
And the CMAs are tonight.
I'm so excited.
I can't watch. I have somewhere to be. I'm so upset.
And what's on... Winterhouse is on tonight.
Yeah, I probably won't watch it either. I have like a busy night.
I'll be watching the CMAs. I'm so excited.
Okay, let's dive into Vanderpump Rules recap brought to you by Honey. When you shop a lot, which, you know, your girls do, Honey is the best, most effective thing that you need right now because it will automatically fill in the promo code box for you at checkout. But it won't fill it out with just one code. It'll dump a ton of codes in there, every code it can find, test them in seconds, and then it'll get you the best possible discount. Honey knows where to look for promo codes so you don't have to. It is so fabulous. Literally, you install it. It's a free browser extension. The second you're shopping, they will just... When you go to your cart, they'll pop up, be like, hey, bitch, you want to save money? And they will just save you money. It's one click. It takes a couple seconds. It is the easiest thing you could do. It's free and it saves you money. And there's literally not a single reason on the planet not to have it. Mm-hmm. Get all the promo codes you want at Honey. And you can get it at joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney.com/toast. Use that link to get the extension for free. It'll download for your browser and you literally don't have to do anything else. And your life will be forever changed. You're welcome.
Let's talk about Vanderpump Rules.
It's just getting harder and harder to do that.
I know. Let's start with some things we liked, some positives. I thought the scene at Lisa Vanderpump's with Lisa, Ken, Randall, and Lala was lovely. So premium and lovely. And really, I am in a place right now where I find Lisa Vanderpump just very, like, not offensive.
Me too.
And dare I say, miss her?
No, not miss her, but, like... Because she's never acted like this. She's always been, like, inserting her ass in the middle of, like, people, young children's drama.
I just, like, I'm at peace with her. That's Tabula it. Rasa.
Tabula rasa at peace. That's such a good way
and
of putting it.
And so whatever she wants to do next, like, if she were even, like, to come back to Beverly Hills, say, like, I would be at peace with that.
I kind of agree.
And that's just crazy. Like, that's, time heals all wounds,
I think
guys.
I also think she's been severely humbled, like, by... not showing up, becoming like a joke on social media, having that failed dinner party show. She's been humbled 100%. Yeah. And she's a renewed tabula rasa woman. And it's actually very refreshing. And she's also not inserting herself. She hears everyone out, but she doesn't like get involved, which I've always thought was bizarre. Like, you're an older woman. These are your staff. They're 30 years younger than you. Like, let them hash it out.
Yeah. And I just like that she's there for Lala. And even though they had like the culinary party, which I need to talk about like
me too.
In depth. You know, Lala was actually wound up on top because she's at a better, swankier event.
Yeah. Let's talk about the culinary party.
I first want to say, so the point of the party, which was to try all different foods and so Charlie could, you know, continue to expand her palate. I that's a cool idea, but I would, like, doing it potluck style is, like, if you want to try like the best enchilada, like go get an enchilada, you know?
There's literally so much Mexican food in LA.
Like that, those plates, like that didn't look appetizing, especially as someone, I eat anything.
Mussels, home cooked mussels. Right,
so it's like all these different foods that like don't go together. It actually looked like kind of gross. And this is a girl who's easily like grossed out by food.
Yeah.
So I was just, I felt like it was counterproductive.
No, I really related to Charlie because I am Charlie. Like, yes. I eat the same four things. And I don't know if I say I have food trauma because I just like what I like. But I eat like chicken fingers, queso. Like, I'm Charlie. Like, we have the same palate. And I just want to say, from one, you know, picky eater to another, like, it's not a personality trait. And it's not a storyline. And we've got to evolve. Like, watching you try different foods, like I have a lot of sympathy for your food trauma, but I'm completely uninterested, to be completely frank.
No, I understand.
It's not going
to
cut it.
I just feel like if you were to decide to like try new things, like you should go to a different like gourmet restaurant every night and really enjoy and not just have this like potluck dinner that is gross, like period.
And I don't think that like if you're going to try different cuisines and that's like a journey you want to go on, I don't think we need to watch it. I really don't.
Okay, you know what else we don't need to watch? And this is the second time that they've done this, and it's the fucking bottom of the barrel in terms of reality TV content.
Oh, let me guess. Like, their light show?
No. Them playing games. Me watching you play a game that's not two truths and a lie. That's not about...
It's like a board game.
Yourself. Watching you play a board game, that doesn't count. That doesn't qualify as television.
Except, thank you for reminding me, I have to say, like, first of all, playing a game with a bunch of drunk people... I have absolutely so much sympathy for James. It is so annoying. And, like, I am James. Like, when people are not paying attention to the rules, it's so annoying. Like, why are we sitting around playing a game if we're all going to talk and, like, not actually play by the rules? Like, it's so frustrating. I was 100% Team James.
Yeah, I don't associate with games. I don't, like, I don't play them myself, let alone watching other people play them.
Jackie hates games. It's psychotic. It's satanic. Games are fun.
The reason why I hate games, if I have to like boil it down, it's like I'm an all or nothing person. So I'm either going to get extremely into this game and get very competitive and I have to win, or I can't be present, or I just have to detach. So like I don't want to get like so competitive. Like it's embarrassing and losery. Like I don't want that. Like I just want to chill out.
100%.
So I really hate games. There are some games that I have okay, like in our fam, like we love games.
Yeah, we love games.
So there are some things you'll never catch me doing, a puzzle. There are games that I will play.
By the way, you would fucking love puzzles if you just were stop being so stubborn. Like you and your pregnancy, like it's a great activity. It gets your mind running, but you don't have to like do anything. You just sit down. You can leave it on the table for days. Like it's really, you would fucking love puzzles.
Maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll grab the puzzle that I bought for you that you still never took home.
That's why I did it. That's why I did it for you.
Okay, that's not a bad idea, but no, I will tolerate Monopoly.
And by the way, you would be unbelievable at puzzles. You've always had like this crazy eye, like, oh, I dropped my earring back, Jackie, it's over there. Like, you have this eye for things. Like, I'm telling you, Jackie, you could enter like puzzle competitions. You would be so good.
Okay, I'm gonna try it. Yes. But it's like, if I'm not good, it's gonna ruin my life.
No, like if it's good, like we could spend our whole winter vacation doing puzzles together. That'd be so much fun.
Okay, you know what? I'm open to trying new things.
And there's nothing competitive about puzzles.
Yeah, and if I can do it like alone and figure out if I'm good or not on my
own. Yeah, practice at your house.
Okay, I'll try that. Monopoly. But I do Monopoly. I like Scattergories because it's a game of skill.
Yep.
I do not like games of luck.
By the way, Monopoly is a game of luck. Like it's all
Monopoly
based on what...
Monopoly is a game of luck. I agree, but we make it fun.
Yeah. And well, we make literally, it funny. The best day of my life was like literally, I think I smoked pot and played Monopoly with Jackie. She was being so funny. Like I wish we had recorded that hour. You were being so funny. You were losing. You had no money. You were stealing from the bank. Like you were being so funny. It was just the best night of my life.
Yeah, no.
See, that's why you should play games. It's so fun. And like you're so fun. And like if you just played games, like do you know how much better it would make the game?
Okay. I'll try and keep an open mind, but I really
it's so annoying. You guys, when we're on vacation, she'll like literally go to the other room. Like she will not play a game.
I just really don't like games
of luck. You're triggered by the word game. Like
I don't like games of luck, really.
What games do you like?
So I do like Scattergories.
Yeah, me too.
And I like sometimes when we play Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, that's fun.
But it gets old really fast.
100% because you go through the cards and you've seen them all already.
Yeah. And what else do I like?
That's like it. I did get a new game for our trip.
Okay.
And I think you're going to like it.
Okay. I don't like Code Names. It's just like too much of a... undertaking.
Codenames, I agree. Like, you have to really be in the headspace for it. It's so, like, physically laborious.
You know, like, you have to, like, hover over the table.
I agree. And, like, you use so much of your brain. I have to be, like, 100%, like, ready. And I'm usually not.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, back to Vanderpump Rules. I don't want to watch them play games, especially when it's like, who can name all these rappers? Not like, name, never have, never have I ever is fine, because we're getting to know you
learning
guys.
Learning about
like,
people.
Whatever. So that, and that's the second time this season that they've done it. They play the game, they play Jenga in mm-hmm. Palm Springs, and it's unacceptable. It's I not, agree. It's not
it's
entertainment.
Filler.
It's not entertainment.
You're right.
Let's talk about Raquel's nose, because I was loving the botched crossover.
Me too. And like, I'm pretty sure that if she wanted to get her nose done, like, he would do it for free because it's on the show and like, right?
I don't know. I wonder if she winds up going with him.
Yeah. I have to look at her Instagram and take a look at her nose. I don't think her nose looks bad at all. But if something's on your face, in the middle of your face, and it bothers you, like, you don't care if other people don't notice it because you notice it.
Yeah. I just think Raquel looks so amazing. Like,
me too.
And it's not even like, I don't think she'll come out like James is saying, looking.
James is like moronic.
He is so moronic. It's just, it's a lot. Like, going for surgery is again. A lot. Like, it's just really, like, you're so stunning. But again, it's like what makes her happy.
Right.
And that's just unfortunate that that's where she's at.
Yeah.
But I think she looks awesome.
Me too. And I would love to see Paul Nassif's work.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever need a nose job, like, I am going to Paul Nassif. Like, he's the best of the best. He's the nose guy.
It's also hard to see on TV how it's,
you know what,
goes
because
to the side.
When they took those pictures in Paul Nassif's office, I'm like, oh, now I see it.
Yeah.
Because at first, I'm like, what are you talking
about? I really
about?
Didn't before. No. But maybe it's more noticeable in person.
Yeah. It's nice to know the bump didn't do anything. Like, Lisa trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, like, with the bumping of the nose. Like,
no, but, like,
really,
also
It's not that unheard of. Like,
no, it's not. But the way that Raquel brought it up,
yeah,
it was like, wait, she made it the biggest deal. And then it's like, oh, but you're saying it's not a big deal.
Right.
Then I just make it a big deal. They were acting really strange about it.
That's true.
But I don't, at the end of the day, I don't think something nefarious happened.
Me neither.
And because the family was there, like,
oh my god, speaking of nefarious people, Brock knowing that Sheena's old boyfriend used to hang at TV in 7 seconds, like, ever since you implanted in my brain that he used to watch Vanderpump Rules, it was that, and then it was the adopting the penguin, and now it's the 7 minutes. 100%.
Yeah,
he is the number one fan of Vanderpump Rules.
No,
he knows more about it than I do.
Studied the playbooks, rehearsed his script.
Yeah.
And now, like, just watching this, like, basketball game of the Toms, Brock and James, and it's like, this is the new, like, crew.
It's pathetic.
It's just, these people used to be friends.
Right.
Like, it used to be a group of friends.
No, now it's a group of coworkers, and that's the worst type of reality show.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just sucks. I can't even get into how much Sandoval bothers me. And honestly, Tom Schwartz is really starting to bother me too. Like, fucking stick up for your wife or enough. Can I come to the restaurant? Yeah, I mean, like, shut up. She's your wife, and she's actually way smarter than you, so just let her in the restaurant.
It looks like next week someone does testify that Katie is smarter than the Toms.
Obviously.
Yeah.
She's just, like, first of all, normal. Like, they're both living on another planet. She lives on Earth, which is always good. She has tons of restaurant experience from Stir. She grew up working in a restaurant, and she's just, like, level-headed. Like, just the more they push her out, the more this restaurant is going to be a big, fat flop.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. I wonder if it even winds up happening.
I don't know, because now, what is this, like, a year ago? Like, how?
No, it's like June.
June. Okay, like 6 months ago. Is there a restaurant?
I don't know.
We'll see. So, yeah, that was Vanderpump Rules, and that was our show. Tomorrow, we are here in studio. Friday's episode is going to be podcast only, because I will be in Los Angeles. And that's all we got for you guys. Thank you so much, right?
Yeah, no, that's our show. No one else's. Don't get it twisted, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're listening, watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you guys have an amazing day. Thank you so much for listening. And if you made it to the end of this episode, congratulations. Why don't you drop an emoji on our most recent Instagram of the scale in honor of Queen Elizabeth's mean troll of weighing all of her Christmas guests at Sandringham. Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.